Word, Lord, we ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and teach us. Come, Holy Spirit, and illuminate your word to us. Come, Holy Spirit, and give us revelation and insights. Father, may your word find good soil in our hearts this morning. And may Christ be glorified through the ministry of your word. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen. Hallelujah. We have been talking about cultivating a prophetic atmosphere. That's the type of atmosphere that God wants his church to have, wants his people to have. An atmosphere where we become aware of God's presence and we respond to his spirit and we worship and declare him as we go throughout our day, as we gather together. And respond to what he would say to us and what he would do. And we allow him to have his own way. This morning I just want to share some things that most of us already know, but just good sometimes to hear them, about discerning the voice of God. Because in a prophetic atmosphere, you have to be able to discern God's voice. You have to be able to distinguish his voice from other voices. So first I'll share just some simple reminders that, you know, God is always speaking. The psalmist in Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The psalmist goes on to say that night after night, the created things speak about God. It says, day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where the voice is not heard. And so God has been speaking through his creation. And I found many times that sometimes just a stroll through a park, a stroll through nature, I'm able to hear God even more clearly. When I was at college, there was a chapel there. And beside the chapel was a garden. We just call it chapel gardens. And many times we'll find the Christians are scattered all over that chapel garden. And as we'll hear the birds chirp and you see the flowers bloom, there's something about that atmosphere that allows you to hear God's voice more clearly and to be reminded of God's love for us. Jesus, in talking about seeking first the kingdom, said, you know, God takes care of the birds. God takes care of the swallow, the robin. Sometimes he uses some of us as we put out feed for them. But even if we didn't, God would still take care of them. And so throughout creation, we can hear and see the voice of God saying to us, I'll take care of you. You're worth more than a swallow. You're worth more than a sparrow. You're worth more than a dove. But God wants us to have a more intimate, aware and being aware of his voice. So turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 10. John's Gospel chapter 10. I'm going to read the first five verses there. Jesus is speaking and he says, I tell you the truth. In the Greek, the word is actually repeated. The King James would say, verily, verily. The Greek word is repeated for emphasis, basically saying, listen up. What I'm about to say is very, very important. So I tell you the truth. A man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And I've listened to people who take care of sheep. I've listened to stories, and they say this is actually true. Jesus wasn't making up something that after a while, the sheep are able to discern the voice of their master, of their shepherd. Just like sometimes your dog can discern your voice different from somebody, some other person's voice. But the key verses I want to look at is verses 3 and 4, and then go down to verse 27. But verse 3 says, the sheep, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Now that word listen is key. Most of you know that there's a difference between just hearing and listening. You're talking to your child and say, are you listening to me? Because they hear your voice and they hear what you're saying, but they're not really listening. Listening requires some sort of response from us, some sort of active involvement. You're there watching television, but you're not really listening to it. Some of us go to sleep by it. Listening requires that I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to drop some of the stuff that is distracting me, and I'm going to focus in so I can receive what they're trying to communicate. And so Jesus is saying that his sheep will listen to his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. Wow. This is powerful if you really meditate on it. Because he speaks to us corporately, but he also speaks to us individually. And he calls his sheep by name. He knows each one of us, not just in terms of what we are called by, but of our nature, how we are, how we are wired. And he wants to relate to us through who we are, our own idiosyncrasies and our own little weirdness. He still wants to relate to us through all of that. And he calls us personally, individually. He wants to have that personal relationship with us. But to have it, we have to be the ones who are willing to listen. We have to be the ones who are going to take the time. It takes time to listen. So we have to cut down on the pace of life when it comes to wanting to listen to the voice of the Lord. We have to take time. We have to say, I can't, this is not no microwave thing when it comes to the Lord. And if we are a sheep, as I believe we are, then we have to take the time to listen and to hear when he's talking to you and to me specifically. And then when we hear, he says he leads us out. He's talking to us, and he wants us to go in a particular direction. Verse 4 says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. To get to know the voice of the Lord, you have to take time learning to listen. You see? You don't just wake up one morning and know his voice. No, it takes practice listening. And after a while, you get so used to listening to his voice, you know it. In the midst of the crowd, in the midst of all sort of stuff happening, you just hear the Lord speak to you. And people might say, I didn't hear anything. No, he's not talking to you, he's talking to me. So if you look, you can see the progression, learning to listen, taking the time. We're going to talk about some of the ways in which he speaks to us, but it takes time. So you have creation and you have the Bible, you have his word, but it takes time. Come on down to verse 27. Because he repeats himself. So if Jesus repeated himself, it means I can do that too. Because he knows that you and I, we really don't get it the first, second, or third time. Just repeat himself. So it says in verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now watch this. Verse 28 and 29. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now people like to quote verse 28 and verse 29, but they don't quote verse 27. What does verse 27 say? Can you go on back? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. If you're going to claim this promise, you have to be to those who are listening to his voice and following him. If you are listening to his voice and following him, no one can snatch you out of the hand of the Father. You're in the hand of the Lord Jesus. He's leading and directing you. You're safe. How many of you know what the opposite is? Because people like to claim this eternal security thing, but they're not listening to his voice. They're not following him. They're living like the devil. And they want to say that no one can pluck them out of the Father's hand. You're not even in the Father's hand right now because you're not listening to his voice. You're doing your own thing. I know that may upset some people's theology, but I'm just going according to what I see right here in John, where this verse comes from. I'm trying to allow the Bible to help us to understand, to interpret itself. So the sheep who are safe are the ones who are listening to his voice and following him. How many understand that theology? It's very straightforward and simple. You are secure as long as you're listening to his voice and following him. You have nothing to worry about. The devil can't snatch you out of his hand. Nobody can take you out of his hand because you're listening to his voice and you're following him. But this promise is not for those who decide, I'm not going to listen to his voice and do my own thing. You've already removed yourself out of his hand. That's extra, by the way. But it helps me to see the importance of hearing his voice, listening to his voice, and following. And it's there throughout the scriptures. Those who are led by the Spirit, they are what? The children of God, the sons and daughters of God. Those who are not being led by the Spirit, I don't know who you are, but only those who are being led by the Spirit can claim that promise of being children of God. I don't know how we try and make this thing so complicated when it seems so straightforward to me. So God desires for you and for me not just to be hearing his voice, but to be listening and to be following. He wants to lead and to guide us. Friends, most of us know this already. In terms of your own personal life. For my life, most of the major decisions that I have made since about age 18 or so, have been based upon what I discern the Lord to be saying. I started teaching a new class last week at the college here in town, Ozark Technical College. And usually I introduce myself in the first class. And many people, when you meet them for the first time, people like me for the first time, they want to know, why would you leave from Jamaica? Bud can testify to this. Such a beautiful place. Nice beach, warm waters. Why would you leave from there to come here to Missouri? But that's why the water is there. If it's hot, you just go right into the waters. And they have things called air conditioning. We could do that because we heard God's voice. You see? And if you hear God's voice, hear God leading you somewhere, your responsibility is to follow. And so it becomes simple and easy. The most dangerous place to be is to be outside of God's will. When you're in the center of God's will, it really doesn't matter what else happens because God is going to take care of you. He's committed himself to take care of you because you're following him. I don't know how people can make lifelong commitment, decide to get married without knowing what God is saying. I don't know how they can do that. We, both of us, my wife and I, had to hear God saying, I'm joining you two together. And you know what that does? When all sort of other things happen down the road, you know, well, God brought us together. He will help us to work through whatever issues we have. So he wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. I put here that he speaks through many different avenues. The first way, as I said, is through creation. Even before you know that the Bible exists, he's talking to you. And many of you know also he gives us a conscience, that he speaks to us through our consciences. But many times the conscience just really tells you when you're doing something wrong. It doesn't necessarily help you to decide to know, you know, if God wants to take this job or that job. But if you have done something wrong or thinking about it, the conscience will sometimes prick you if it's still sensitive enough. Some of us reject the sensitive touch of the Lord so much that our conscience becomes seared, and so we can no longer hear God through our consciences. But then he gives us the Word, the Bible. He speaks to us through the Bible. The psalmist says, Psalm 119, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shows us how to live and how to walk. And even my Presbyterian friends would say amen to that, because when I was growing up in the Presbyterian church, that was the main way that they emphasized God speaks to people. And when I became spirit-filled and started to tell them that, you know, God was speaking to me now in a personal way, they looked perplexed and looked concerned about me. And I remember one of the leaders saying, God spoke to you? And I said, yeah. And then as a young person, I wasn't as diplomatic as I am now. My wife said wise. I said diplomatic. And so I'd respond. At Easter time, they'd sing this song, he lives, my Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. And so I'd say to them, how is it you're singing that song, he walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way, if he's not talking to people today? And that would only make them more infuriated with me. But church, he speaks to us through the Word. And the more you read this Word, and the more you think on it and meditate on it, is the more you become in tune with the thoughts of God and the mind of God. And it helps you then, when he speaks to you in a subjective way, to be able to assess, yes, this is consistent with what he has written in his Word. But if you're not spending time in this book, spending time meditating on it and reading it, it's going to be hard for you to know if what you sense is really the Lord, or if it's just your own thoughts, or if it's just the thoughts that are flowing through society. So we have to spend time in his Word. Paul said to Timothy, remember the scriptures which from a child, as we just heard a while ago with the Bible quiz. From a child, you have known the scriptures. And so when the scriptures are clear on some things, you really don't need for God to tell you otherwise. He won't, in fact. So people are out there fighting and arguing about same gender marriage. The Bible is clear on things like that. You don't need to ask God if you should enter into some same gender relationship. He's going to tell you, no. My Word is clear already. Then he speaks to us, as I mentioned some time back, through our thoughts. We read Jeremiah 23:18 a couple weeks back. Jeremiah 23:18 a couple weeks back. Jeremiah 23:16 says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions of their own mind, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says, you will have peace. We keep saying that today. Some people, you know, all these people who are living ungodly ways, you'll be all right. No, you won't be. They keep saying you'll have peace, and to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. Verse 18, but which of them have stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or hear his word, who has listened and heard his word? And so here Jeremiah, the Lord is asking, saying, who has stood in my counsel, who has stood in my presence to be able to see what the God Lord wants us to see and to hear his voice, hear his word? And so the more you and I spend time in God's presence and learn to listen, learn to dial down, learn to meditate upon the scriptures, it's the more we learn to hear what God is saying, and the more we'll be able to share his thoughts with us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, who knows the thoughts of the Spirit but the Spirit of God? And so because you and I have the Spirit of God living inside of us, as we learn to listen to the Spirit inside of us, we'll get thoughts coming to us and he'll share pictures with our minds. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He saw this tree grow and become big, reaching to the heavens. And suddenly this tree was cut down and became a stump. And he was perplexed and he wanted to know, what does this dream mean? So Daniel 4 verse 18 says, this is a dream that I, Nebuchadnezzar, had. He shared it with Daniel. Now Belshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because the Spirit of the Holy God, God's, is in you. So at least Nebuchadnezzar can recognize that Daniel is a man who stood in God's presence. Daniel prayed 3 times a day to the Lord. Verse 19, then Daniel, also called Belshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and listen to this, and his thoughts terrified him. His thoughts. God gave him thoughts. So the king says, Belshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belshazzar answered, my lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. And he goes on to explain to the king that that tree is you. And the Lord is going to cut you down and cause you to roam for 7 years like a crazy man unless you learn to repent of the evil things you are doing. But the interpretation came to Daniel as thoughts. It's not that Daniel was just caught up into the third heavens, which God can do and does do. But in this situation, Daniel was there. He heard the dream from the king. And while he was there before the Lord gave him some thoughts. Daniel, this is what it means. And Daniel shared the meaning of the dream that came to him through thoughts to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, many of you know, he responded initially, and then like about a year later, he forgot about it and became proud and arrogant again, and God just cut him down immediately. But the important thing I want to remind us is that God speaks to us through thoughts, through pictures you might get in your mind, sometimes through feelings, which we'll talk about, well, through sensing things spiritually. Not feelings in terms of your emotions, but in terms of how you sense things spiritually. So I call it inner promptings of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul was going about strengthening the churches in Acts chapter 16. And I'm at verse 5 of Acts chapter 16. So the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled through the regions of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Paul is called to preach the good news. He's called to build up the church. And as he's traveling, the Holy Spirit kept him to know. He felt uncomfortable in his own spirit. So as you and I learn to spend time in the presence of God, you and I learn to know what the peace of God is like. There are times when you'll feel unrest in your spirit and you know the Lord is saying, move from here, don't go there. Go here. And those promptings can save your life. It was after I got spirit-filled that I started to have this type of sensation. And I remember I was a part of a group, good group, a folk group singing folk songs. And when I'd go to practice, I just felt so uncomfortable. And I knew the Lord was saying, it's time to leave that group. Nobody had to come and tell me anything. I could sense it in my own spirit. But that only comes as you learn to spend time in the presence of God, just as we did this morning, and you know what the peace of God is like. So when that is disturbed, you know that God is trying to get your attention. It's back to Acts 16, verse 8. So they passed by Mysia and went not to Troas. Verse 7 of Acts 16. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. I mean, this man is called. He has been sent out. He's about the things of God. But he still needs the guidance of the Spirit of God to know where to go, when to go there, the time, right timing to be there. Many times people end up in utter difficulties because they hear God say something and they rush and stop listening. You know, you're telling the child to do something. Son, I want you to clean out your room. And before you can finish telling him all the instructions, he has run ahead and he misses some of the important thing you're trying to say to him. That's how many of us are. So we have to learn to wait and learn to be sensitive to the Spirit. Are you with me? Here's a scripture that has fascinated me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia." That's the NIV. Can I get the New American Standard Version for this passage here? You'll understand why shortly. Because this one says no peace of mind. Let's hear what the New American Standard says. "Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit. Not finding Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia." So the NIV says no peace of mind. That might have been translated by people who don't understand the sensitivity of the spirit. Because peace of mind can mean all sort of stuff. You know, you go to Walmart and the price is high and you have no peace of mind. That has nothing to do with you being led by the Spirit. You see? I can see you can all identify with that. But here is Paul. He has an opportunity for ministry in Corinth. An open door. This is what I'm called to do. Here's a great opportunity. And he looks around and his companion Titus is not there, and suddenly in his spirit is like, "I can't stay." But Paul, mentally, it's a great opportunity to preach the gospel. "I can't stay. Something is not right. I need to find Titus. Something is not right." So many times, friends, for you and for me, there's a sensitivity that we need to have with the Spirit of God. That even when in the natural things look great, even when in the natural people say, "Go ahead, brother. Go ahead, sister." You and I need to be so sensible. You're like, "No, I can't." Sometimes you can't even explain it to people. Because, you know, people want for you to share things logically, step by step. And all I can say is, I mean, for those who are function like this, they will understand. You can say, well, no peace in my spirit. But for others, they're like, so what do you mean by that? I can't explain it. But the more you learn to spend time in God's presence, the more you learn to be led by that peace of God, when it is disturbed, it tells you something. Some of you know it. Some of you are prayer warriors or intercessors. There are times when the Lord will disturb you like that, and you know, I need to pray for something out there. Sometimes he might tell you in your own mind, tell you, you know, a name. Say, you know, pray for Chris. Sometimes you know, something is wrong with my kid. I need to pray. How you know? There's something in my spirit, friend. Can save your child's life. So we need to become more and more sensitive to the spirit. And you know, sometimes if I just bypass the mind, I don't understand it, but thank God for the prayer language. You don't even know sometimes how to pray, but you just sense something is not right. Just go ahead and pray in the spirit, friend. God give us a brain to use, but there are times when the brain doesn't catch up with what's happening spiritually yet. And we have to learn to flow with the spirit that he has put inside of us. I can't share this at any church. You know, we go to some church and say this. They're like, Pastor, you need to find somebody else. This guy's out there. He's out there. But those of you who are by the Spirit, you appreciate what I'm saying. And you can see it is scriptural. It's not like I'm just telling you from my own experience. But it's scriptural. This is what Paul said. I didn't have any rest in my spirit, so I couldn't stay there. So you have these inner promptings of the Spirit. We know that he speaks to us through visions and dreams, so we won't spend much time with that. But for Paul, when he was trying to discern where the Lord wanted him to go, and the Spirit wouldn't give him the freedom to go different places, then that night God gave him a vision. He saw this man saying, come over to Damascus and help us. And he discerned that, okay, God is leading me to Damascus. But it's only as Paul was taking simple steps, trying to move in the direction God has called him, that God could then direct him. Many of us, we sit down and we're waiting to know from A to Z before we leave. And the Lord is like, no, I'm only going to tell you A and B. And it's only when you start to move that he shows you C and D. That's just how he has wired stuff, that he's God and he chooses to do that. And sometimes if we knew too much, we wouldn't go. Because then we start to see some of the difficulties. They're like, Lord, I don't think that's you anymore. Oh, help us. He speaks to us through circumstances. In the book of Revelation, he said to the church, I think in Philadelphia, one of those churches, I've put an open door before you that no man can shut. He creates an opportunity for the church. Creates opportunities for you and for me. And so sometimes he leads through circumstances. Many people are blessed, they hear the audible voice of God. And that occurs in different ways. Sometimes everybody hears it, just like with Paul on the Damascus Road. Those who are with him, they heard the audible voice of God. They didn't understand it, but they heard it. But there are other times when God speaks and it's audible to you, but others don't hear. That's what happened with Samuel. When God called him, Samuel, Samuel, Eli didn't hear anything. But Samuel heard. And after he went to Eli three times, Eli discerned, you know, son, I think the Lord is calling you. So sometimes there's this voice that is pretty audible to you, but nobody else hears it. Then he speaks to us, obviously, through angels. Let's talk a little bit about receiving God's guidance. Again, if you want guidance from the Lord, obey what he says in the word. Obey the clear instructions of Scripture. You know, we can't expect for God to be telling us things, but here the word says, for example, you mustn't tell lies. And you expect me to keep on telling lies and then say, Lord, lead me and guide me. He's like, do what I already told you to do. That is clear in the scripture. Stop telling your lies. You follow what I'm saying, friend? Obey the clear things that are in the word, and then he'll tell you more. So obey what is already written there. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Then follow what he has already said, the previous words. That's what Paul did. He knew the Lord had called him to minister to the churches, so he followed that, and then as he was going along, God will give him more specifics. So if we sit down waiting for everything, you're perhaps going to miss his timing. Follow the previous words, and as you go, he will direct you. They say it's easier to steer a car that's moving than one that's not going anywhere. Then I put here, learn to practice inner quietness. In other words, learn to listen to his voice. Be still. Be still internally. We have so much going on in our minds and all around us sometimes. It's hard for us just to be still. Now, there are different levels of being quiet and being still, and there are some levels I haven't reached yet. And I say that because in one of my courses, what's called spiritual direction, where this professor was trying to teach us about, you know, contemplative prayer and how to be quiet. And he was sharing from his own experience how he went on a 30-day silent fast. 30 days of silence, not saying a word. He went and spent some time in a monastery up in Spain. And I'm like, 30 days? Quietness. I can't even do that for half an hour. I'll just sit there just being quiet. Always getting some other thoughts, a phone ring, different things happening. But learn to practice that inner quietness. Many of us think, just like Elijah, that the Lord is going to speak to us through the fire and through the earthquake and through, you know, the tornado and stuff, and it's the inner quietness. And I like the Lord. The Lord is, I think he has a sense of humor. Because I think that's what he was doing with Elijah. And he says, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah's here saying, Lord, you've killed all the prophets. And the Lord is ignoring him. Like, next step, what are you doing here, Elijah? Even though the Lord is the same one who provided him with food, because the angels cook food for him, and he knows he's one for 40 days, and the Lord comes and asks him, what are you doing here? So for many of us, the Lord might be asking you that. Why are you so upset? Why are you so uptight? Why can't you step back and allow me to act on your behalf? So learn to practice that inner quietness. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. Commit your plans and your ways to the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge him, which means to commit them to the Lord. I'm not going to do anything, Lord, unless I get your confirmation. This is what I'm thinking, Lord, but I need your confirmation. Commit every way of your life to the Lord. Then, as we said before, learn to worship the Lord, as they did in Acts 13. These leaders, as they worshiped God, then God spoke. Learn to worship, learn to pray, and then listen. And Mary tried to help us a couple weeks back. I don't know how many of you heard what she was saying, but for those of you who have a prayer language, learn to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, and then listen. This is very, very key. This is what I had to do many years ago when we were in New Jersey and we were trying to figure out where the Lord wanted us to go. And we had one job offer in Georgia. My wife had a job offer in Georgia. And when we had gone for that interview, the people there said, listen, you are the person we want. And we asked them, should we stop looking? And they said, yes, we want you to stop looking. In a couple of weeks, you'll get the contract. A couple of weeks came, and no contract. And by this time, you know, Elliot is just a few weeks old. We don't want to travel anymore. So my wife contacted the doctor. He didn't know why the hospital didn't send us a contract. So she asked him, should she still look, and he says, you might want to do that because maybe the hospital is not interested. And that's why we started looking again. We had a recruiter that we asked to look for us, and that recruiter continued to look, and that's how we found this job here in Lebanon. And here in Lebanon, they stopped looking for a doctor. They stopped looking for a pediatrician. They couldn't find one. And the attorney who we worked with said to them, you need to re-advertise that post before talking to us, before having us come for an interview. They knew our visas were about to expire, so they said, you know what, just come for the interview. So we came for the interview. We liked what we saw here. We felt peace being here, but they could not offer us a contract. They said legally they have to re-advertise the post. But the day we were leaving from New Jersey to come here is the day the people in Georgia called and said, listen, the contract is coming to you by FedEx. There was a miscommunication between the doctor there and the hospital. So the contract is coming to you by Federal Express. So when we came back from Missouri, the contract was there waiting for us to sign on the dotted line. Missouri says, we can't offer you anything. We have to wait for at least 30 days. And if somebody else applies, then they have to get preference. So now we have to decide, Lord, what do you want us to do? I've been taught growing up as a child that a bird in hand is worth two in the bush. You don't give away sure for unsure. That's a natural logic. What should we do, Lord? And so, Sister Mary, I spent some time praying in the Spirit, praying with the prayer language that God gave me, praying and praying. And after a while, I felt the peace of God saying, Missouri is where he wants us. But Georgia has a contract there to sign. We'll have to call them and say we're not doing it. And we have nothing in hand and we have to leave this country. And so we left this country, called Georgia and said, sorry, we can't do that. And went back to Jamaica, not knowing really what's going to happen. But we felt the peace of God saying, this is where he wants us. That he was the one who caused there to be a delay. But we were able to discern that because I spent some time praying in the Spirit. And friends, it took a year for all the legal work to come through. Because I had to go to like three different government departments and also the bureaucracy. But because we prayed in the Spirit and felt the peace of God, we could walk in it. And that's why we're here, friends. We had opportunity to go elsewhere, but we felt this is where God wants us. So what I'm sharing is not something I've read in a book. It is how I live my life. Every major decision that we're going to take, we have to sense together. This is what God wants us to do. Am I making sense? And that's why it's key to learn to worship. It's key to learn to spend time in God's presence. It's key to learn to walk with the peace of God. In Colossians, Paul said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So that when that peace is disturbed, you can know something is not right. God is trying to say something to me right now. What does he want me to do? Does he want me to pray? Does he want me to leave? What's happening, Lord? When you have options in front of you, should I take this job or that job? It can't just be, well, this one pays more. You need to know where God wants you to be. We have had different churches contacting me. One church in New York twice in about 3 years. I'd preached there before and knew some other people. Will you come? Nope. That's not where God wants me. Interviewed by my professors at Assemblies of God Seminary. And said, okay, we have this position for you up in California. Nope. I mean, we'd pray together, wouldn't just say nope, but we'd pray. That's not where God wants us. Learning to function by the Spirit of God, to be led by the Spirit of God. Let us stand. My sheep, listen to my voice. And they follow me. My sheep know my voice. And they follow me. We listen so we can get to know it. So that on the spur of the moment, we'll hear his voice and know how to respond. We won't be panicking and running here, there, and everywhere. Because we have learned to quiet ourselves. We have learned to become sensitive to him. We have learned to be able to see spiritually. So this morning, I want to pray for us to have a greater sensitivity to the Spirit of God. I think in the days that are ahead, things will happen suddenly. Things will happen suddenly. You don't have time to spend weeks upon weeks seeking God. You have to just know on the spur of the moment what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to go, how to respond. In the days ahead, as things happen, especially you parents and grandparents, there's something that God does for parents and grandparents. He causes them to be able to be aware of what's happening with their children and their grandchildren. That can save and will save their life. Sometimes it might be a dream you get. I need to just call them and say, listen, I had this dream. Whatever you're planning to do, don't do it. Let's just raise our hands to the Lord. I'm going to pray for us to have a greater sensitivity. That we might hear more clearly. That his peace might settle upon us. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are a speaking God. I thank you that you desire for us to know your voice. Lord, you desire to communicate with us every day, continually. To continually have our senses, spiritual senses, attuned to heaven, attuned to the Spirit within us. And so, Lord, I pray this morning for each of us, myself included, that, Lord, you might help us to become more sensitive to your Spirit. Lord, may your very whisper be something that we can sense and hear. Lord, let us not be like the horse or the mule that has to be led about with bit or bridle. But, Lord, let us be of such, O God, that we can sense what your Spirit is saying. Help us not to be like Balaam, O God, where the donkey can see what's happening and we can't. But Lord, you have called us to be your children, people of the Spirit, to be led by your Spirit. And so Lord, I pray, might help us to see more clearly in the things of the Spirit, to hear more clearly your voice, to be more sensitive to the movement of your Spirit, which oftentimes is like wind, oh God. Help us to be more sensitive. Father, you said you have called us to follow you. And so, Lord, we want to be able to follow you more closely. Help us, oh God, to delight in your presence. Help us not to get distracted or bored. But instead, oh God, may your Spirit rest upon us, just like your Spirit rested upon Christ. Father, I pray, oh God, for the parents and grandparents here. Lord, for a greater sensitivity for them as they watch over their children and their grandchildren, as they stand in the gap, oh God, as they seek to lead and to educate them, as they seek to raise them, oh God, in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Help them, oh God, to be so even more sensitive to your spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for our children. Lord, we know many of them as young children, they are sensitive, but Lord, help us as parents be able to guide them and protect them, oh God, from the deception of the enemy. So Holy Spirit, we say, come in a new and refreshing way in our lives. Come and have your own way, oh God. Come and help us to be obedient to what we already know, what you have already said. Lord, we pray these things in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, and amen.